Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, a place for saving, making, and having fun with your money. We offer you a chance to learn new and creative ways to reach your financial goals. Here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, it's always about the money. To contact us, visit our website at www.cheapcheetah.com or at www.cheapcheetah.webs.com. And now, here is your host, Hill.
Good morning, my Cheap Cheetah family. How's you? It is January 18th, about 9:30 New York time. It's probably like 30 degrees out. It is cold outside here in New York. And I want to say thank you for being part of Cheap Cheetah's Money Show this morning. I want to thank my archivers, my people in my chat room, and the people who email me. And I also, most importantly, happy Martin Luther King's birthday, folks. Yes, it's the King's birthday, and we wish him a happy birthday. Today's show is Money in the News. And before we get to that, I'm just going to make this real quick and to the point. Visit thecheapcheetah.com for new and exciting things I always put on my website. Also, you can visit the blog. And most importantly, don't forget, you know, we have a home, Facebook, The Cheap Cheetah Money Show. We haven't lost it. We've been doing pretty good. We've been paying our little bills. So we have a permanent home for now. And I've been working on a lot of YouTube videos. So please visit the Cheap Cheetah Money Show on YouTube and tell me what you think. Your comments and suggestions are always important to me, and we're family now. So tell me what you think. Good, bad, ugly. I'm a big girl. I can take it. I understand. You know, and if you like for me to talk about anything on this show, Blog Talk Radio, or on the YouTube channel, let me know. You know where to find me at CheapCheetahYahoo.com. So, on that note, and you know about the rest of stuff, the e-books and everything like that. You know, we have free e-books out and everything else. So, I'm not going to get into that because we're family, you know. And if you need to contact me for anything, just email me at cheapcheetahyahoo.com for your free e-books or where to find e-books that are not free but just give you just as much information, all that good stuff. We're talking about money in the news today, folks. I really want to address the elephant that's been in the room for the last 2 weeks. And we're talking Powerball. And now you say, oh, God, are we talking about this again? First of all, we saw it when Powerball was $1.5 million before anybody won. That was all the rage. Everybody kept talking about what if you win, what if you win. Okay? Then when somebody did win, this Tennessee couple, if you weren't aware of it, somebody won in Tennessee. It's in a small town in Tennessee, husband and wife and a daughter, and they did right. You go to a lawyer. They went to the wrong lawyer, folks. They went to a divorce lawyer. You don't go to a divorce lawyer if you won the kind of money they won, like $350 million, something like that. The divorce lawyer told them, if you're not aware about it, the divorce lawyer advised them to go on TV and let the whole world know that, hey, I won this money. So they went from Tennessee to come to New York to be on a talk show to let people know this is us, this is how much we've won on advice of our lawyer, and then from there we're going to the Memphis office to cash in our ticket. Okay, money in the news. What is wrong with this picture regarding money? Number one, they told people, by the way, after we've been on TV to millions of people, please respect our privacy. Crazies are crazies no matter where people are. And when you win that kind of money and go on TV, you're opening up a can of worms where your privacy doesn't exist anymore. The lawyer should have been fired because of bad advice. And if these people want their privacy, they should never got on national television and told people their story. You should have kept it all on the down low and did what you had to do. Okay? Because $300 million or 300 and some odd $1 million, that's life-changing money, okay? And you have to be smart about what you do. Heck, even if you win $5,000, to some people, that's life-changing money. If I win $500, that's life-changing money. But it's been going on all week where people were saying, okay, this is the wrong thing that they did. It was a rookie mistake, but maybe a rookie mistake that will haunt them for a very long time. Because you're going to have everybody coming out the woodwork. Also, the couple stated, well, we're keeping our jobs. Have you ever been in a situation or have known somebody who won a lottery? People come up to you, they ask you for money. People, your coworkers are resentful. You shouldn't be here because somebody else needs the job, where you no longer need the job. It's just a whole lot of stress and tension. I wouldn't mind that myself, the stress and tension of winning that kind of money, but I would do things differently. And my question to you is, how would you do it? $350 million. Would you go on TV? Would you get a divorce lawyer instead of getting a tax accountant lawyer? Maybe a financial planner later on and laying low? How would you do it? I just had to talk to you about that first because, yes, that it's part of being money in the news because people do foolish stuff with their money, and maybe it's me. Maybe I thrive on it. But I like to read about people doing foolish stuff with their money because it's a learning experience. It teaches you what not to do. So from somebody else's mistake, you're learning a valuable lesson when it comes to money. You're learning a very valuable lesson. Do you know New Yorkers and America in general is broke? Do you know we're broke? Americans are starting 2016 with more job security and still living paycheck to paycheck. Because for 2015, 2014, 2013, when we didn't have the jobs, we were trying to pay the bills. We were trying to get the jobs to pay the bills, and because we didn't have enough money to pay the bills, we got behind in our bills. So for 2016, now that we have a secure job and we're getting a paycheck, we're probably trying to play catch-up. So that's probably one of the reasons why we're broke. It goes on to say, 63% of Americans have no emergency savings for things as little as a car repair or $1,000 emergency room visit or $500 car repair. Number one, if you go to emergency, you better pray that you have insurance, okay? If you don't have insurance, you go to the hospital and tell them, look, I don't have insurance. But by law, they cannot tell you, no, I'm not going to service you. Okay, they have to service you, and they're going to have to bill you. And then you speak to, if you or your family member, if you're in the hospital, you speak to a social worker and see if she can get you on temporary Medicaid. Okay? But overall, we still need emergency fund. And you know what time of year this is? It's tax season. So it's time to think about, all right, I'm getting ready to do my taxes. If I get a tax refund, I can use that for my emergency fund. If I don't get a tax refund, then I'm going to have to slowly build up my emergency account by doing, like, little things, cutting back, taking a percentage out your paycheck that you really won't miss. Even if you start with $5 out your paycheck, you're not going to miss that $5. And you can, you know, it's like, no, I need the $5 but to pay the bills. Well, you'll think of other creative ways to still pay that bill while having that $5 build up towards your emergency account. You know? Because we do, and I do stress this to you, need an emergency account. If faced with an emergency, most people stated that they would reduce their spending. Okay? But in all actuality, if faced with a major emergency and people didn't have the emergency money, what would they do? You know what we would do. You know. We're going to whoop out them charge cards and say, here you go. We're going to call everybody for a loan and say, look, I don't have enough on my charge card. Can I borrow a couple of dollars? This is what we do. It's not a good thing to do, but this is what we do. Lack of emergency fund could be a problem for millions of people. Four out of ten people either have experienced emergency where they didn't have the money, and then what do you do? You whip out those charge cards, and then later on you look at the bill and say, man, you know, I have to pay X amount of interest because of emergency because I didn't have the money. This is life, folks, but it shouldn't be your way of life. What do I always tell you? Make sure you have food, shelter, clothing. When it comes to emergencies, make sure you have adequate emergency money and make sure you have money for retirement. But if you can't do the retirement or the kids' college fund, that's okay, fine for now. Make sure you have emergency money. A lot of people were stating that their emergency money was depleted because of the recession. Didn't I tell you? For 2008, when people went through the recession, and we do remember that, then they used the money because they was out of a job. So they still had to live, so the little bit of money they did have in their savings account and everything, excuse me, was used up. Excuse me, 1 minute, folks. I do apologize. I'm getting tongue-tied. Dry mouth. Okay. New York real estate is just as expensive as L.A. and Chicago. The median price of a Manhattan apartment is at an all-time high. Manhattan, okay? It's $1.15 million, and that's 17.3% higher than it was last year. A Manhattan apartment went for $980,000 last couple of years. These are overpriced places that are closets. Have you looked at online what Manhattan apartments look like? Some of them with beautiful views are like $5 million, $3 million, $8 million. Little tiny closet just to live in Manhattan. And we're talking about purchase price. We're not talking about renting. Little closet can cost you $1.5 million. My question is, people are buying these expensive-ass apartments in Manhattan and L.A. and everything else, Chicago and major cities. My question to them is, where are you getting this $1 million from? It's like $1 million today seems like it's nothing. It's like someone saying to you, oh, buy my apartment and it's $350,000. To us, that's a lot of money. Or it's $700,000. That's a lot of money. And we struggle to get it. But $1 million, $2 million, $3 million? What in the hell? I want to know how do people actually pay $2-3 million for a place? Do they just open a checkbook and say, okay, fine, let me just write you a check for $2-3 million? You know, do they like, okay, let me call my accountant or my broker and, you know, sell some stock for this money? Where are you getting this money from? That's my point. Where are you getting the money from? It'd be mind-boggling. I watch these real estate programs. People come in, oh, I want this apartment. All right, well, it's $3 million. All right, no problem. Where are you getting the money from? I don't want to see the apartment on these shows. I want to see where the person's getting the money from. Because maybe there's an opening somewhere where I can get the same kind of money. You know what I'm saying? It's just mind-boggling. $1 million is like, you know, remember back in the day when $1 million was, whoa, that was a lot of money? $50,000, that was a lot of money? Hell, $10,000, that was a lot of money? Now it's like, $10,000, okay. I'm like, where did, you know, money went up and up and up. Where did the lack of a lot of money not be a lot of money anymore, but a lot of big money is like nothing now, you know what I'm saying? Bottom line is, folks, where's the money? Where are you getting this money from? Like I said, I like to know. Even houses here where I'm living in the suburbs are crazy. I've seen houses that normally should go for maybe $350,000, going for $700,000, $900,000, $1.5 million. These houses have no land where I am, You're looking in the neighbor's backyard. You, as my mother says, you're living in a fishbowl that everybody can see in your house. So I don't understand real estate. I don't understand. People that use the service Airborne, Airbnb, you know that service where if you have a spare room and you want to make extra money, you are registered or you, I guess you list yourself or list your spare room on Airbnb, and then they, depending on if you're in a good location, it's really hot, you'll make a lot of money from your spare room because a lot of times you're maybe going on vacation or your house is empty or vacant or the room is vacant. Because we talked about that, but I'm going to tell you another story besides this one. A couple was getting married. They forgot to tell Airbnb that they didn't want to rent their room out because they had a spare room. And because they forgot to cancel, I guess, the reservation the people made, then when they got home, they said, you know what, we're just going to have our own room, the couple who owned the place, because we just got married, we're on a honeymoon, and we're going to let the couple who rent our spare room out, just let them have it for whatever period of time. So, you know, we can live with that for a minute because it was probably going to be a day or two. Well, the couple who rented the place out from Airbnb, they were in their 20s, they had a party, they actually had an orgy in the people's house, okay, while the people, the owners, were in the bedroom. And they was like, what's going on? They had an orgy, they brought cocaine into the people's houses. It's just like, it's a horror story. So, I mean, yeah, people need extra money, and it's a good idea, but you got to be very, very careful about who you rent to and renting your spare room out in that manner, because it's almost like renting a spare room out like a person would use a hotel, okay? Because there's too many horror stories where people have rented out their places. If they had a condo they're not using for a certain period of time, they've rented out and people don't want to leave, or people have trashed the place, and yes, Airbnb is insured for that, and I guess you get some kind of supplement back, but when it comes to one situation I read where the people stayed more than their 2 weeks and a woman could not get her condo back, that was a whole bunch of legal issues and stuff, and Airbnb just stepped back from it and said, well, we can only do but so much. Yes, trying to make money is fine, because you know this is all about making a dollar. But it's just the way you make a dollar. You just have to be very careful, okay? Because there's been too many horror stories about people renting out their rooms or renting out their homes, and the place is just, you know, they come back and they're just disappointed, or the place has been trashed, or they can't get back in the place because you have permanent squatters. And I'm not saying it's always like that. Some people have been very lucky, like the man in Manhattan, because we were just talking about Manhattan, where he had a nice Manhattan apartment that he subletted, but he really wasn't living there. He was living somewhere else, but he was using Airbnb. He was using the apartment as a hotel room on Airbnb, and he was making buku money. Long story short, they caught his behind, and he got kicked out of this nice apartment, and there was a whole lot of legal trouble. So, like I said, not just that company, but if you rent out a room, just be very careful. Very careful, and know what you're doing and know what's going on and really know that person, because sometimes you can come into really crazy situations that you're not ready to handle or you just, you know, don't want to deal with. And sometimes it's really unnecessary. Let me see. Your 2016 budget. First, did you make one? Did you make a 2016 budget? Okay. And if you did, how much money did you put towards your activities? How much money did you have for play money, your spending money, you know, your leisure time money? You have to have play money in your budget. You really do. Because if you don't, then you're going to overspend on your play category and, you know, you're defeating the point of having a budget. Okay. Plan your play money when it comes to your budget by being smarter about how you use it and how much you spend. So in your budget, if you said, okay, for the month, I'm going to have $20 for play money, then use the play money, but use it, you know, very constructively, meaning plan out what it is I want. Am I going to the ball with my friends for drinks? Am I using the money for movies? Okay, maybe $20 is not realistic. Maybe I have $50 for the month for play money. What are you going to do? First of all, like I always tell you, always try to find free things. If you want to go out for drinks with your friends, always find happy hour if you have it in your town where the drinks are half price and the food is free. Okay? You can always do something at home. If you want to go to movies because you want to see the big screens and, you know, the Dolby sound or whatever it is they're doing at the movies, do a first movie, the afternoon movie. I think they still should be cheaper than the evening movie. Or see if you can find some, you know, discounted movie tickets online. Plan your entertainment accordingly. Okay, if you want to go to a concert, you know, like Elton John or Huey Lewis in the News or Mick Jagger, you know them tickets are expensive. Okay? See if you can find concerts that maybe have, I don't know, Huey and the Blowfish. You know what I'm saying? Concerts that are not, that are less expensive than the popular ones that you want to see. Better yet, do like I do. If I want to see a program or see a show, I'm not buying concert tickets because I'm not spending a couple hundred dollars on seeing somebody making their pockets fatter and mine less fat. What I'm going to do, I'm going to watch it on YouTube. It may not be the best updated concert, but I watched the concert on YouTube. I just did that the other day. I want to watch some comedy. I'm not spending a lot of money for comedy shows. Yes. You know, I would like to be there in person or whatever, but I can't really justify the price, so I watch it on YouTube. I watch it on my computer, and I get the same laughs, and I get the same enjoyment, except I'm at home and I'm just, you know, I'm chilling. I'm not sitting by nobody. I'm not trying to rush out to my car when it's over. I'm not trying to think about what I'm going to eat. I'm sitting right there eating my little snack, watching my YouTube comedy shows, and I'm saving money. I'm totally saving money. On that note, a word from my sponsor.
This message is for independent recording artists. Is your music career at a standstill? If so, let Access to a Rising Artist Promotion get it moving again and take it to the next level. We can assist you with building your brand through online radio promotion, social media marketing, and website development. And if you don't know what direction to go, get an opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation session to get you started in the creative aspect of developing a strategy on going forward with your music career. Get back on your music journey again and visit us online for a host of new opportunities that will put you in the spotlight at www.accesstoarisingartist.com, the ultimate platform for a rising artist to shine.
Thank you for my sponsor, Access to a Rising Artist. And you, too, can have a commercial on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show. Just contact me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and we'll discuss a commercial. Or if you like to come in and talk to us about saving, making, and having fun with money, by all means, come on in. Email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and we will discuss you coming in and sharing your money situation with us. We'd love to have you, because why, folks? We family. Super Bowl. I don't know when Super Bowl weekend is. I don't know if it passed. I think it's in February. Don't quote me. I don't get into sports. Super Bowl weekend. $700 per person for a VIP tailgate party. Yes, I did say $700 per person. Given by Guy, the chef at Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I love that show. I love that show. Okay, he's doing a Super Bowl party. And it's an open bar. You think it wouldn't be for $700 a person. It's from 10:30 to 3:30. It includes all these fancy foods. And it's from soup to nuts. And it's supposed to be all the foods that you eat at a Super Bowl party. Pizza, chicken, nachos, all that. And for $700 a person, and you got two people, that's $1,400. Can you think of something else better to do with $1,400 than to spend it on a VIP tailgate party at Super Bowl? Number one, the tickets are already crazy high, okay? $700? That's a waste of money to me, but that's just me. Some people do it. But then in the article I was reading, they were saying people who really got the money to spend, do it. Even if you had it, would you, $700? How many times can you go grocery shopping on $700? Me? That's like maybe 5-6 times if I'm really good. What else could you do? It's a lot. For a couple of hours of open bar, food, you can have a Super Bowl party in your house for less than $700 with open bar, food, and everything, okay? And still have some change left over. It's just crazy. I guess when people have the money like that, they do just crazy spending. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You know what else is crazy? Remember I talked to you about Lotto, right? I was reading an article where this woman spent all her money on Lotto to try. She knew she was going to win the $1.5 billion Powerball. She knew that. She spent all her money, and then she had the audacity to go on GoFundMe, open an account, and tell people that, by the way, I've spent all my life savings on trying to win the Powerball, the $1.5 billion Powerball. We didn't win, so could you fund me, please? Could you give me money for my family to live? No, you stupid. That's what I would tell her. No, you stupid. If you, excuse me, if you stupid enough to spend all your money on a big chance like that where you don't have a guarantee, no, then you deserve what you get for your stupidity. That's one thing I love to read about, but it irks me too. I can't stand people stupid spending. Stupid spending is just that, stupid spending. Okay? And I'm not just talking about other people. I've done stupid spending too. And, you know, I need to have the Jackass of the Year award. And I'm going to tell you why, because we only got a couple of minutes. The Jackass of the Year award belongs to me for yesterday. Yesterday I went to check my tickets. And what happened was that, yeah, I bought, don't tell anybody, and don't laugh, I bought $100 worth of Powerball tickets, not realizing I spent that much. That was not a cheap cheater moment for me, okay? So when I went to check them, guess how much I won, folks? You know, don't get too excited. I won $9 freaking, and I spent $100. That a light bulb went off in my head. It's like, you know what? I quit. That was not a cheap cheater moment, and I'm a jackass, okay? Because I'm chasing a dream that probably with me, I am the worst lottery player there is. I don't have that kind of luck, and I spent money that I don't have because I am not working on a chance to win. I'm not saying don't play, and I should have been smart. I should have been really a cheap cheat and said, okay, yeah, I want to play. Maybe I'll spend $4 and call it a day. I got so caught up in the moment, and that's what lottery wants you to do, to catch so caught up in the moment that you spend so much money that the only people come out winner is the lottery organization. So, yes, I deserve the Jackass of the day, okay, of the month, because I personally should have known better. I should have known better. Yes, I have my entertainment fund, and we just talked about that. I should have had a budget and said, okay, fine, this is it. This is all I'm spending. But, no, I kept throwing dollars after dollars saying, made it, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and now sister sitting here broke is a joke. You know, my spending budget is gone for the month of January. So if I want to have any kind of entertainment, I better do it at home and on YouTube because that's the only thing I could afford. So, yeah, I was a jackass for the month. But you know what? I learned from my mistakes and others, and I promised myself I'm going to do better. On that note, I want to wish you a great day, a great week. I want you to save that money. I want you to keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Okay? I want you to be safe. I want you to be blessed. And I want you to save that money. And I will see you probably next week. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about yet, but you'll know. If you follow me on Facebook, I'll go to my blog, you'll know exactly what we're going to talk about. On that note, have a great, great weekend. I love you, I miss you, and I appreciate you.